think he's getting scared to come up here. It's our one and only George Thorne.
I don't know. You know, I was thinking on the way over here, I've done this a few times now, and why really do I do it? it helps me learn what I think about things, and I'm not always sure. And two, in my very, very small way, it's kind of how I pay back that much to my Millie, because I love her so much. And hopefully 1% of what she's taught and given me. And finally, I enjoy sharing with you some of the things that I've learned and what I've thought and think over the years. So, but I don't mind sharing with you that it's been a rough couple of months on the home front. At least I thought it was, until I realized what I've gone through has been a pretty big lesson and a blessing. I've been rather sick for much of this time. I ran a fever. I've had a fever about 102, a little more, and sleeping 18 hours a day. And finally, though, I went to the doctor, who ran a bunch of tests very quickly. Urgent, he said. What's the rush? I wondered. He demanded that one of the specialists see me the very next day. The doctor wrote down on his workup sheet that they were screening me for prostate cancer. Cancer. For the first time in my life, I thought it was possible that I was going to die. Amazing what goes through your mind when you think you have the big C. Your entire life passes before your eyes. What does it all mean? What have I accomplished? Who am I? For years, I was president of my own advertising agency, flew all over the country meeting with clients. New York, Chicago, L.A., Detroit, drove a new Cadillac, had a house with a pool. Is this who I am? I've also been a columnist for an international marketing magazine, co-authored a book, and the husband of a brilliant attorney, father of two great sons. How about this? Is this who I am? I was also abused as a little boy, suffered through alcoholism, drugs, smoked 3 packs of cigarettes, drank 15 cups of coffee a day, gained 100 pounds, I've lost 40. But is this who I am? Nothing like the thought of death to make you think about life. And I began to wonder, who is the real, authentic George Thorne? Will he please stand up? I learned 2 things from this experience. I am all of these things, but a great deal more. And secondly, and just as important, I learned what it really means to watch your words, watch your thoughts, and watch your actions. Anyone ever heard this before? If you've been here around here for a long time, you've heard this phrase at least a few hundred times, right? I don't know about you, though. So many times when I heard it, kind of went in one ear and out the other. Yeah, don't swear, don't be negative, right? I get it, nice, okay. Well, guess what? I had a chance to learn about it in spades, and it was a lot more important than I thought it was. Matter of fact, I don't know if there's anything more important to understand and believe in than this phrase we have learned from our Millie. I actually began to believe for the last month or so that I had cancer. I became depressed, anxious, afraid, angry, hopeless, tired, sicker. I began thinking, talking, and taking action around the idea that I had this disease. Did I stay positive? Did I go to God? Did I think about eternal life in my soul? Did I work on staying at a higher, healthier vibration? Oh no, not a chance. Not when being the martyr that I can be is still very much alive. Each new day, I had the remarkable, amazing ability to actually make myself feel more horrible than the day before. Oh, and if you could have only heard what I was thinking, it was sad. Look at me, I have cancer, I am doomed. Oh, all of you out there with your trivial little problems, you're out of a job, you have a toothache, you don't have a place to live, well, you think you have problems. Let me tell you my problems. Listen to my words, and let me tell you my thoughts. Poor me, nobody cares. You can't possibly know what I'm going through. All of you healthy people out there have it easy. You don't have any real problems. here today, gone tomorrow. Oh, what's his name? Sigh. Watch your words, watch your thoughts, watch your actions. A few weeks ago, though, I went back to the doctor, and he tells me, George, the tests have come back. It looks like you have a bacterial infection. Take these antibiotics for 30 days, and you will be fine. What? I don't have cancer? Why would you think that? You wrote it down on the sheet to check me for cancer. We always do that. It's a precaution. But the test, you wanted them done so quickly. George, you were running a very high fever. It was a precaution. And there I was, sitting in my little hospital gown, quite airy, I might add, on this very cold stainless steel table in the doctor's office. The prognosis was in. My life-threatening disease was something a little more severe than the flu. I would be fine in 30 days. I don't have cancer, none. The only cancer I have is my rising sign in astrology. Well, George, what do you think? How do you feel now, a little silly? Your words, thoughts, and actions didn't match reality. Your thought you were at death's door, but really the sun is out, the windows are wide open, and it's a beautiful sunny day. What a lesson. How powerful. We are what we think we are. We are what we tell ourselves. And we have a choice. Which door do we want to open? One, two, or three? The good, the bad, or the ugly? One of the most powerful things Millie has taught us is the greater meaning of the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But she also asks us, how are you doing unto you? What are you telling yourself? Are you telling yourself you are happy and healthy, that you love yourself, that you are going to treat other people like you treat yourself, and always, always that God is love and we are part of God? Or are you metaphorically telling yourself that you have cancer? I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. No one wants me. I couldn't get that job. I'm not qualified. And as Millie rightly says, God doesn't like it when you're mean to one of his kids. I think for the first time I'm really beginning to understand what this means, the significance of it all. There's a well-known story that many of you I know have heard. The grumpy old man moves to a new city and asks his next-door neighbor what kind of people live in this town. The neighbor in turn asks him, what were your neighbors like in the city where you came from? Well, they were a mean bunch, cranky actually, always had hard to get along with. Neighbor smiled a knowing smile, but then said, boy, I'm sorry to tell you, the people here are just like that too. Watch your words, watch your thoughts, watch your actions. What you are telling yourself goes deeper, much deeper. Did you know that it's estimated that 75% of all doctors visit, that 75% have an underlying psychological cause? I have a friend who was a Navy SEAL for 30 years. He just retired. He was a member of SEAL Team 6 for 10 of those years. You know, SEAL Team 6, those are the guys that went after bin Laden. He's an incredible man. His last years of duty, he was in charge of the BUDS program in Coronado. BUDS is the basic underwater demolition school. He was mentor for all of the young candidates who were working 24/7 to become SEALs. It's a very tough program to survive. Less than a third make it. At any rate, he taught these young men what it means to be a noble warrior. He would teach them Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. He has also taught ethics at the Naval Academy, studied Greek at Harvard, and is learning Sanskrit. He could hold his breath and swim and fight underwater for more than 2 minutes, and he could turn around with three targets behind his back, fire his weapon, and hit all three targets twice, each within 7 seconds, and turn back around. But what my friend Will was proud of is what he was teaching his young SEALs, which was a four-part system of how to shape their words, thoughts, and actions for their greatest good. Number one, set your goals. As he used to tell these young men, you may find yourself in 55-degree water at 5 in the morning. Your only goal is to make it to breakfast. Two, visualization. See yourself over and over again eating breakfast. Three, self-talk. What are you telling yourself that you can so that you can survive? Are you going to say, I can do this, I can make it, or this water is so cold, I can't breathe, it's so dark out here? Just like life, the choice is yours. As Henry Ford used to say, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. Breathing. Number four, we are more receptive to inner thoughts when we take several deep breaths. It almost moves us into an altered state. All of this working together will help you get out of the cold and into someplace warm. Question, How many of you approach your life this way? How many of you set goals, visualize positively, give yourself powerful affirmations, and take a deep breath to be present to where you are? How many of you taking Millie's classes create a plan for yourself as to how to reach what you want to have happen in the future? Because if you don't, please listen to my favorite saying from Alice in Wonderland. If you don't know where you're going, all paths will take you there. And what are you telling yourself to reach your goals? In the course of your life, the quality of your words, thoughts, and actions will determine whether or not you're going to sink or swim. At the beginning of my talk, I said I learned two things. Watch your words, thoughts, and actions, and the sum total of who I am is much greater than what I have done. I would like to explain what I mean. My youngest son graduated from college this year. When the valedictorian gave her talk at commencement, she said something that really touched me. It was very beautiful and meaningful, and I would like to share it with you now. She said the words Tashi Delay. This is a Tibetan greeting used when people greet one another. And when I say what these words mean, my wish is for you to take them into your heart, because they go for each and every one of you. I honor the greatness in you. I honor the place in you where lives your courage, honor, love, hopes, and dreams. I honor the place in you where, if you are at that place in you, and I am at that place in me, there is only one of us. I would like to think that this is who I am and who you are too, that each of us is really a part of God. We are indeed all spiritual beings on a human journey rather than human beings on a spiritual journey. That we are all love because we are expressions of God and God is love. And like the sun, the moon, and the stars, each of us has a grand purpose in our life. If we only realize it and use our words, thoughts, and actions to tap into honoring the greatness within you, where lives your courage, honor, love, hope, and dreams, rather than bringing ourselves down with the cancer of negativity and mediocrity and not honoring ourselves and those around us. I would like to finish tonight with another little admission of who I have been recently and of what happened when I was not feeling so good. It's quite ironic, really, and has contributed greatly to my lesson. While I was sick, our spiritual development classes were preparing their year-end celebrations. So many in my Tuesday night classes were working so hard to make that evening very special. Meanwhile, I'm over there feeling sorry for myself. I was sick. Lord only knows. Tuesday night class chose as its theme tending the gardens, and both groups, one and two, expressed it beautifully. Jay Lorraine came up with the theme. Laura did the beautiful brochure. Kimberly and Mary and Carrie and Kathy did so much. The two Daves were excellent masters of ceremonies. And me, well, I was being a stump. But the theme, ironically, focused on something that I have learned this year, which has touched me very deeply. And Jay Lorraine touched on it in her beautiful talk. I have learned that our thoughts are like tomatoes. If I give you a seed to plant a tomato, and you plant this seed in the earth, when you harvest it, you get what? That's right, you get a tomato. You don't get an ear of corn or a cantaloupe, or importantly, you don't get a weed. What you plant in your minds is what you get. Having said this, I would now like to do my part and make a tribute and contribution to our Tuesday night class. Call it my little part of the celebration. I hope, like they say, better late than never. I call it creating the magic garden of my life. For too many years, many of the gardens I have grown have been broken down dirt lots, strewn with potholes, tumbleweeds, especially tumbleweeds, and even barbed wire, which have been hurtful and painful even to the slightest touch. Now I am planting the magic garden of my life. I am filling it with beautiful flowers, trees, fruits, and vegetables. For that matter, in the middle of my magic garden is a garden within my garden, and it's full of tomatoes, beautiful, luscious, red, ripe tomatoes. My tomatoes symbolize freedom and joy. They symbolize a fresh attitude toward life. They symbolize that I have the power over what I think and feel and ultimately decide to grow in my life. The very idea behind my tomatoes holds the greatest concept for people everywhere on earth. Buddha says we are what we think. Jesus says we can do everything he did and more. Well, why don't we? Well, I can only speak for myself. Too often I've been so busy growing weeds, big ones, little ones, in between ones, born of the seeds of my past experiences and from the people who didn't always have my best intentions at heart, who more often than not simply didn't know any better. And sadly, the reason behind it all is so simple yet profound. I believed that what I had experienced was all there was to reality, that what was shall always be. But now I'm beginning to understand that I am not my story, that what I know now is different than what I used to know, that I have it in my power to change my thoughts, change my words and actions to change my life. I have the power to grow my garden any way that I want, with the seeds of tomatoes, corn, reddish, asparagus, roses, orchids, pine trees with lots of pine cones, apples, oranges, and watermelon. I love watermelon. And not tumbleweeds. I have the power to plant beauty instead of ugliness. I have the power to create a magic life filled with everything wonderful, joyful, enriched by happiness and grace. But I certainly don't have that power all by myself. Something greater than me has that power. Spirit, love, the Creator, God. After all, who do we think we are, or who did I think I was? Much of my life I was caught up only in my ego, created out of the belief that when I was born it imposed itself that I was somehow separate from God, as the spirit was something I left behind, sort of like an extra suitcase on Southwest Airlines. So unimportant that after losing it for a while, I actually forgot that it existed. But even though I forgot about it and lost all sight of God, God didn't forget about me. No matter how ugly my broken down lot became, how deep the potholes, how plentiful the tumbleweeds, something kept pulling at me, tugging at me, telling me there was more, until I finally got it. It took years, mind you, lots of years, lots of potholes and barbed wire to climb out of and over, and many loving and caring people to show me the way. The truth has been revealed to me that the reason I can now grow my magic garden is because I am part of something greater. Because now I know that I am one with Spirit, I walk and talk and think with God, I am never alone, I can create my magic garden of life any way that I want. What I also want is to have our very special people in my garden so that it will continue to grow and blossom. I would like to invite everyone here in my class and all of the classes and everyone here tonight to be part of my garden. I have watched you as so many of you have gone through your own transformations. As I have gone through mine. Sometime we have cried together and always laughed together. I have watched as you have all been supportive of each other and certainly of me. It's sort of like having your own spiritual cheerleading squad. I have listened as you shared your heartfelt God stories and your love of God and knowing that you know that you know that there is something greater than ourselves. I have been seeing so many expressions of love through a touch, a hug, a kind word, a loving message. I have watched, listened, and learned as we have all been working hard at becoming God's kids, all equal, all present, all caring for ourselves and one another. I invite each of you into my garden because each of you is so beautiful. So I give thanks for my magic garden of life and all the beautiful people, plants, flowers, fruits, and vegetables, and love. Everything that can be, it is, and more. It is continually nourished with forgiveness and gratitude and flourishes in total abundance. I release it into the universe until it's as grand and wonderful as the universe itself, until everyone in the world feels the love and beauty that we all feel here. My magic garden of life is everyone's garden to share and enjoy. And what is so wonderful is that it is also very possible. It won't cost a dime. No cathedrals have to be erected. No countries have to be created. No wars have to be fought. All we have to do is to change our thoughts, words, and actions and change our lives. And we can all live in our magic garden of life with peace, harmony, dignity, and love as one. Tashi Delay, I honor the greatness in each of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, George Thorne.